Why is feeding the fear cycle so damaging? Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin. Hey, Tyler.
What's going on, Brandon?
Not much. Just doing my thing. You know, I just spent 4 hours in a car with my kids, and my wife got this idea. It was like a Sunday. She was like, we're going to try it with no media, no phones, no nothing. And it was crazy. It was like all this stuff started. It was like a 4 hour therapy session with my kids. They aired all their dirty laundry. They fought with each other. We had one of them screaming at the top of her lungs, like as loud as she could at some point. We all calmed down and listened to music. It was like, wow, we felt all the feels for 4 hours.
Old fashioned family trip right there, man.
It's tempting to throw an iPad in front of them. They just all be quiet. Like, here you go.
I love that you said that. So I guess the question is, did you enjoy that? Was it time well spent?
I think I enjoyed it because I was looking at it as an experiment, kind of like with curiosity of like, wow, let's see where this goes. Like, what happens here when we take away all the numbing agents? We really didn't even have much sugar either. It was just like no sugar, no media. It was just like, hey, the feelings, like, wow. I'm surprised our van didn't just start on fire for no reason.
That's a pretty good illustration, though, like that how easily we numb ourselves to that. Like back when we grew up, we were fighting over who was going to be sitting on the back seat of the station wagon looking out the back, and then we would fight back there, and there was no media, there was no numbing. It was like that was just day-to-day stuff. And how
but then I shove a straw down Rex's throat and he vomits all over the car because of that. You know, we could have been watching, you know, whatever on the iPad.
Could have been getting numbed out to some Disney show.
The right thing to do is shove the straw and go nuts and experience life. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? There's a balance somewhere here.
Somewhere in that. We should do a whole episode on that sometime.
Yeah.
Well, today, Brandon, we're going to get into this topic of the fear cycle. Before we do that, and I think this might lead into it a little bit, is there's a couple things going on. We love you guys' reviews. We read your reviews when they come in. We got one on the Apple podcast reviews a while ago, and we've never kind of got back around to addressing this. It was one of our very few one-star reviews.
I love the one stars. You know how much I love the one stars.
I think this one is a direct result of you, Brandon, because you've been grinding the axe a little bit on certain other platforms, which will also make its way into the episode today. But I thought maybe we'd just read this one and address it a little bit, and it'll probably lead into the topic, the broader topic of betrayal trauma and the fear cycle. So this one is called Betrayal Trauma, and it says, if you are going through betrayal trauma and looking for good resources on going through that, don't go to these guys. They're basically telling the guy that they can be attracted to others, and if they have pornography addiction, that it can be separate even or when they recover. Load of baloney. So that's the review. We would, I know these are just made up names, but Nayeli, thank you for the review.
We'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah, come on and have a discussion with us if you'd like to, because we could probably make a really good, interesting episode with this. But I think, Brandon, maybe that's something that she does bring something up that I get, you know, once in a while from other clients, that we live in this world where I think you and I, Brandon, are always constantly trying to balance the dialectics of two sides of things. Right. And for a lot of years, we've kind of come from the realm of, hey, shut down your sexuality. Don't, you know, don't deal with any triggers. Don't, you know, do anything else. And then we've kind of, in the course of both of our careers, we've kind of come over to this idea of embracing that rigidity on that side hasn't worked, but also the freedom of like, hey, you know, like carte blanche, do whatever you want. that doesn't work either. And somewhere in the middle, I think we're trying to get the messaging out that we are sexual beings and we have to own that from the beginning in order to then go and find a healthy recovery. So I don't think that I don't know that I've ever endorsed somebody having a pornography addiction. So I think you've misunderstood, or I must have misspoke. But nor
have I.
No. Like, we live in this world where we try to help people overcome their pornography addictions. Like, that's
addiction. Yeah.
That's a big part of our job. So just to be clear, we've never endorsed having your own addictions, but I think, at least for my part, I'm not going to back off on my stance that we find recovery by embracing who we are, which includes being a sexual being and learning to harness that power rather than trying to shut it down.
Yeah.
And so if that's, I hope that's the message that comes across in some of our other content, but.
Well, Tyler, we've done this long enough and we've been humans long enough. I think basic therapy, healing, freedom, peace comes through facing reality and operating within reality. And acceptance is a huge part of the process of healing. And this whole sexual rejection model of, I'm going to pretend like I'm not sexual, and that's going to create safety in a relationship, and it's going to, you know, prove my recovery, it's not reality. It's just not reality.
That's not reality.
And so if you want to operate under that system, then you're setting up couples, for one, to be caught up in the fear cycle, fear, control. You're setting up the person acting as if they're non-sexual to manipulate and lie, to feel continued shame. And it causes all kinds of problems internally on an individual level. So we're fighting for real recovery here. And I think, Tyler, I think there's levels here. There's like the level of anything you do sexual that is not with your partner is horrible and you're bad. And so reject your sexuality, and that's the way to recovery. Okay. I think that's like, we're way off the mark there.
But okay? that's also though, Brandon, that is an approach that many people try to take.
Yeah.
In their recovery.
Especially the more religious and rigid they are in their thinking. They correlate. And so there's that. That's an approach that people try to take. And I did it. The reason why I can speak to it is because I actually did that work for a long time. And I never saw it work. I never saw it actually bear good fruit ever. So there's that. And so then there's the next level of like, okay, like, no, we'll be okay that we're sexual. Like, I'm a sexual being. I'll accept my sexuality. But it's really dangerous. And so I accept that it's there, but it's really dangerous. So I got to be really careful. And so it's like this level of like, fear is still there, kind of hanging out with when it comes to acceptance of sexuality. And you better like be very, very, very cautious with it. So there's that. Like, I accept that I'm a sexual being. Okay, great. There's another place that I think is like so far out of the realm for some people, where sexuality is beautiful, is of God, is amazing. It's as important as your emotions. It's as important as your physical body. It's as important as your spirituality. It's an avenue to know yourself on a deeper level than you ever have, to trust yourself, to create, to all of these amazing things. And when we think about sex as just the act of sexual intercourse with your partner, we're missing out on full sexual development and full sexual discovery of self. And so a review like that reflects a person who doesn't understand what full healthy sexuality is. And somebody who is acting like I just said, absolutely leads more toward an intimate relationship full of trust, it actually creates that. It doesn't destroy that, right? So sometimes I feel like we have to talk to a level so people understand it, because they're so far away from actually understanding what sexual self-acceptance is, that we're dealing with platforms and people just kind of swirling in the fear, and their fear is valid, and that's true, and we need to work through that fear. But the ultimate goal isn't fear and control. The ultimate goal is honesty, acceptance, and self-realization and self-discovery. I just said a lot of things.
But you said a lot there, Brandon. I'm actually going to add to the three layers that you put on for a second, and then we'll probably come back to this fear component thing. I kind of see those layers that you're saying, and I would say that there's, if you were to keep layering it on, it also swings the other way to maybe layer four, which is, I'm sexual. That's the way it is. I should do whatever I want. And then the last layer of that is, you're sexual and sex is a commodity and you should consume it.
Are you layering toward health? Because I feel like you're going backwards.
That's what I'm saying, Brandon, is like, I think we're being accused of like level four, level five of what I just said. You're talking about level one and two,
right?
Of where it feels like that review just came from. And I just wanted to paint the rest of the picture that the goal here is to actually maybe be operating from that level three out of the five levels that are now there, where it's like, you know, maybe there's going to be people who are a little bit more careful with the way that they embrace their sexuality. Maybe there's going to be people who are a little bit more expressive with the way they embrace their sexuality. But in the middle, it takes both to understand that it's beautiful, it's powerful, it's an integral part of our life. We need to accept that and embrace it and then make choices, because that's the reality.
Yes.
Right.
And in a healthy relationship, you can be very honest and open about who you are as a sexual being. And there's not a ton of fear of like, oh, that means you're going to go hurt me or do these things. Because like, I can have my sexuality, but I can still keep my commitments. I can still keep my fidelity, my loyalty, and my safety in a relationship, but I can still have my sexuality. And those two things actually work together.
And I can still be honest, which is,
I can still be
too.
Very honest and open. I think that the box is made and set of like, this is the box that you're supposed to fit in. And if you don't, then you're unrighteous. You're wrong. You're broken. You're the problem. And so if you like, let's say a guy is like, hey, I'm attracted to this, or hey, this is on my arousal template. Well, what we've been taught and what God says is that you shouldn't be. So you need to pretend like you're not. Is that really recovery? Is that really what we're going for?
No, and I think this is where people get mixed up. When they hear that, they go like, oh, then that means he should go and do whatever's on his template. And it's like, you didn't say that.
No, I didn't.
You said he should acknowledge and accept that that is on his template. And now he needs to then be curious with that, with some compassionate eyes, and make choice with that being on his template.
Right. And in a really, really healthy relationship where there is trust, and this is where betrayal kind of destroys this, I could even be open with my partner that that's on my template, like that's there, and she would know like, oh, okay, interesting, I'm glad you're talking to me about it, but I trust that you're going to keep the commitments that we've made in our relationship, right? And then I feel really safe, because I can share our sexuality shows our just most vulnerable parts. It's a window into our shame. Sometimes it's a window into our soul. So I can show my most vulnerable parts to my partner, and she doesn't freak out and try to control me. She listens. She understands, but she trusts that I'm going to manage myself to not hurt her and not break the commitments.
That's where I think, you know, leading into kind of more of the topic that we put on our question today, I think that's where the rub starts to happen is, when we're talking, I sit and I go, yeah, like level three, that's where we want to be. But if you have, and this is where you said betrayal gets in the way, if you have something where sexuality has caused pain, especially if you would want to call it what looks like unbounded sexuality, the natural tendency then is just to go into this fear and control and say, I don't ever want to get burned again. I don't want to ever get hurt again. Like, this is scary for me. That fear is, I think that's the hard part about this topic is that the fear is legitimate because of the betrayal that's happened. And yet the fear can't be where we set up shop to try to move forward.
Because when we're talking relationally, honesty builds trust. Honesty does. Not faking it, not manipulation. So if, okay, I betrayed my partner, let's say I had an affair, and then we're watching a movie and my partner's like, hey, do you think that actress is attractive? And I'm like, what actress? I didn't notice anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I only see you. You're only here sitting next to me. You know, what's my partner going to feel?
Well, she's obviously going to she's going to feel that old deceptive and lying come back.
Because honesty builds trust. Now, if I say, yeah, she's very attractive and my partner gets hurt, I still built some trust in that moment because I can handle that she's hurt. I'm honest about my sexuality. Like, yes, that's true. I can reassure her that, hey, I'm with you. Like, my heart, my soul is committed to our relationship. And I know that's hard to hear after I've hurt you the way I have. That's going to, because I'm showing strength and I'm showing honesty. When you go to these programs that I talk about and they say you need to have a boundary that he can't do that, that he can't have that. It sets up this dynamic where the partner's being told that they can control what's on their partner's sexual template, that they can force them not to have certain things on that template. And it's a losing game.
It can't win.
It can't work. It will never work that way.
And what it seems like when you find that, so this is where the fear cycle comes in, Brandon. It's where, you know, the betrayed partner gets burned and they get hurt and their life is on like this mental, emotional roller coaster as a result, because the security of the relationship gets yanked out from underneath them. And so in an effort to try to find stability, they obsess about it first. It's like, whoa, what about this? Or what about that? Or what about this? Or what about this? And then it leads into what we call control, which is where it's like,
Wait, back up with that obsession, because it looks like a lot of things, right? Like, am I good enough? What's he doing at work? What's, you know, like all this stuff starts to go off.
The brain is trying to order itself and go, I've got to try to find a new reality, because what I thought was reality is no longer reality. So, and I'm looking for safety. That's what this is going for, is it's an attempt at safety, but the brain turns on and it drains them emotionally. And so because they get drained emotionally and they haven't been able to find order, then it leads to what we call control. And control happens kind of two ways sometimes. One is that I'm going to reach over into my partner's life and I'm going to control the outcome by making them wear a hat in public, or
I'm going to manage their recovery,
or making sure I check in with them about every trigger they had every day, and then being hurt by it because it's crushing for me to hear that they're still wrestling with those feelings or those thoughts.
I'm going to lose 50 pounds to try to be sexy enough so they only want me, and I'm going to have give him sex every night. Like, that's all control.
That's the second way. So it's either I'm going to change him or I'm going to have shame try to change me. If I was just pretty enough, if we had less fights, if the house was cleaner, if we had sex more, whatever else it is, either way, what ends up happening is that you use your energy and your time towards something that ultimately is outside of your control, and you get exasperated, you get tired, you get resentful, you feel like a probation officer or a mother rather than a partner. And then it can then continues to spiral itself out. And eventually what you've got is two people who are doing this dance of disconnection, trying to hold on to a relationship instead of a dance of honesty and work and effort.
Yes. Yes. That's a good way to put it, Tyler. And I mean, how many times have you seen it?
Oh, it's the classic. That's why I'm glad we're talking about this, because I'm not, I don't want to even villainize the fact that if you find yourself in the control cycle or the fear cycle, that
it's normal.
It's a normal place for anybody to land, but it can become its own comfort zone, and it will never yield the results that you actually are looking for in the long run.
I think the hard part is the way we're talking about, Tyler, requires vulnerability on both ends.
Yeah.
Where the fear and control doesn't require vulnerability. It's I'm working every which way to not be vulnerable here. And I wish my partner would fall into this perfect mold of a person who can create where I don't have to be vulnerable. But that's not reality. And in the long run, it fails.
Right. That's what makes this so hard, though, Brandon, is because when there has been a betrayal, like if I were to go and betray you right now, there's a pretty good chance that you would probably take your distance and take some deep breaths and try to go, man, what just happened to me?
I'd punch you in the nose.
you might come punch me in the nose. And, you know, like, but then if you were to want to then come back and continue to try to have a relationship with me, you'd want to come back with some kind of assurance that you weren't going to get burned again. And that's where it gets hard is that I could verbally give you that assurance, and yet it's only as good as my words.
But right? Tyler, I'm glad you bring this up. There's only one way for that assurance. It's the hard way.
Yeah. Well, that is what's hard about this, is that because I've been burned, it's my natural tendency to try to protect myself. And now what you're saying is, but the pathway forward is to open yourself to the possibility of being hurt again.
If you betray me and I want assurance that you won't betray me. And so I put find my friends on your phone. I listen to every conversation you have. I tell you that you can only have certain sexual feelings. I tell all of those things. I am actually getting in my own way of knowing whether or not you have changed and whether or not you're a trustworthy person.
Yes.
And the very thing that I want, I'm preventing.
Trust and safety.
I'm preventing. I think I'm
pursuing it by doing those things.
Right. I think I'm pursuing it, but I'm actually preventing it.
Yeah.
So are you ready to get to the bone I have to pick with you?
Yeah, here we go. What do you got now?
So you take certain platforms like BTR, like you take a counseling practice like Jody Hildebrandt's counseling practice. And what I see is that they teach the fear cycle. They teach how to set up this thing where I'm going to control my partner.
They don't teach the fear cycle for education. You're saying they teach it as the way through.
Yeah, they teach it as the healthy thing. So they teach it. These life coaches teach it as, look, it's like we could hear it on Chelsea's episode. Where she was talking about, I had certain boundaries and they were telling me I could have more. I had a boundary they were telling me I could have a boundary where he had to wear a hat in public. And he needs to adhere to that. And he needs to do that. And that he needs to respect those boundaries. Right. And I could just feel and sense, you know, the counsel that she's been given by life coaches who aren't even therapists,
which was like double down. Make sure that you control every outcome.
Well, and her husband was saying, your need for safety is ruining our relationship. And you know, we kind of attacked that. But I think he might have been saying something else, is that these boundaries, in quotation marks, are controlling, and it's not allowing space for us to actually be intimate and know each other. So I know how it goes. I know, you know, they get in these groups. There's validation of their fear, which is important.
It needs to happen.
And I felt like you were a little caretaky for Chelsea. And
so you even, just before you go further, Brandon, this is episode 289. Episode 289. Chelsea calls in. We had a big discussion about boundaries. Brandon kind of went after betrayal, trauma, recovery the way he is right now. I tried to back him off on a little bit. Now you're picking the bone with me.
Tyler said I was, I would, what did you say? Like I just like kept going or something.
I said something along the lines of you just like you wouldn't let it die. It's funny that you're talking about picking the bone because I thought you wouldn't let go of gnawing on the bone.
Yeah. So he, you know, I hadn't listened to the episode, so I went back and listened to it. And as I listened to it, I thought, oh, I won't let it die. Well, Tyler's totally caretaking for it. And you even made the comment where we finally got into BTR a little bit, and you even made the comment, well, it's important. There's a place for that. And that's where I was like, whoa. I don't think there's a place for that. It's kind of like, this is the analogy I see. You could say, yes, they need validation for their pain. They need validation for their fear. And
yes.
And BTR provides that validation.
Yes, that's what Chelsea said.
Right, they provide that validation. And then they chew you up, they spit you out, and they give you counsel that destroys you and destroys your relationship. And so when they use that validation to gain your trust and then to hurt you, there's not a place for that. It's kind of like McDonald's serves food. We all need food. Many people go to McDonald's, right? I find myself there probably too often. But McDonald's probably will kill me if I keep eating it again and again and again.
Yes.
Is there a place for that? I guess you could say there's a place for that, but it does harm.
Yeah. I see where you're going, Brandon. And I maybe probably did look a little caretaky, maybe because I actually feel like she said those things to you. She said, yeah, they provided some validation, and then I could see that it was a little too much. So I started to try to change some things.
Yeah, that she did say that. I will. Yeah. I mean, she did say that she was seeing it.
Yeah.
And yet there was still kind of this defensiveness for BTR.
Yeah.
And to me, it's hard to defend something that I feel like is actively exploiting the situation for profit and for gain.
Mm-hmm.
And so is there a place for that?
So I guess maybe this is where this is kind of, I don't want to get too far off the path, but because you're bringing it up, when I look at the same situation, let me get clear with you. I do agree with everything that you're saying. I agree that at a certain point after, like when somebody's in pure trauma, what they need is validation, understanding, love, support, all of that stuff. I think you and I both agree that if we were to, I do teach the fear cycle, but I teach it as, hey, this is what's going to keep you stuck. You're saying BTR would teach it and say, here's the model, double down, control, and then that's how you're going to find safety. And
this is our model of treatment.
And at that point, it becomes, in most cases, it becomes less helpful for the overall picture than being able to move through that and say, hey, I got to break the cycle now. I got to get back to wholehearted living where I can take some risks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think you and I actually fundamentally, principally agree in the same places. I think where I'm looking at it from, and we have different lenses to look at this from too, is on a platform like that. I look at it and I have to say, these are people who I was trained in DBT, which says that we all do the best we can and we need to do better. So if they're doing the best they can, are they actually looking at this and going, how do I churn out a few more ruined lives so I can get dollars? Or do they actually believe in what they're doing and they maybe just don't agree with how things should be done the same way that you and I might agree on?
I actually think it's something different.
Okay.
I think, well, I don't know how far to go with this, but maybe my issue is I know several of them personally. And I think there's an axe to grind. And so they have expanded their axe that they're grinding out into a platform and doing a lot of harm because they haven't done their own work. They might be unconscious of it, that they're even doing it.
Maybe they're living in that control cycle fear cycle that we just talked about. And they think that that's where they want to be.
Yeah. To me, the energy is hatred and anger, and anger's okay, but if that's where you want to stay stuck, is in that angry place toward your partner, then you, if you want to stay stuck there, there's a place for you there. Yes. Hopefully you want to get healthy and get to a place of of acceptance and peace and freedom and not having the betrayal you take your life over forever. I mean, I can get to a place of compassion for them, Tyler. It hurts me to watch, because I watch people like the review we got. I'll bet you the woman that wrote that review is a great person.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And she wrote that review from a place of, I want to do good.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. But she's so misguided, and she's probably, and Tyler, you and I don't speak this out of our just whatever. Like, we speak this out of years and years of experience and thousands of hours of therapy and being in the trenches with couples and with people. And so when I say something like, yeah, she's misguided and she's probably going to have some pain and suffering that she doesn't need to have unless she could see this, it's hard to watch.
I'm everything you're saying is what I'm saying too. I think it's like, what I don't want to do is I don't want to vilify this person who gave us the 1-star review, because I honestly believe she did it thinking she was like fighting for a good cause.
But I'm not making this comparison, but like Hitler thought he was fighting for a good cause. And here's the thing. At some point, even if somebody thinks they're fighting for a good cause, it's good to speak out against it if they're doing harm. If they're causing pain, even if in their heart of hearts they think they're doing the right thing, but it's a problem, then it's good to say something. It's good to expose it and show it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm kind of having this weird emotion come through me right as we're talking, based off of what happened last night with me too. But like, what I'm saying is, if we see something that you and I maybe disagree with, we should speak out at it. We should speak the truth of what we think, what we see, because that's all we have, right?
Right, right.
Maybe people think we're deceived too, like we think they're deceived.
I'm sure there's plenty.
We should speak about that, and we should step up, and we need to be in that game. I 100% agree with you. And I don't want to be on the other side of it, being the axe to grind on them the way that, you know, they have an axe to grind. Right. Now, the trick to that, and this is why it's like twisting me up a little bit, is I watched last night.
Were you watching politics or something?
No. My daughter, she asked me if we could watch The Patriot.
That's an old school, yeah.
You know,
Heath Ledger,
Mel Gibson show about the revolution. The part that is standing out to me is the main character, who is played by Mel Gibson. He has been in the other wars in the past. He doesn't want any part of the war, but he also wants his freedom. So he plays the middle ground where he won't go fight against these things that are happening, but he also won't like back off on like his positions for freedom until at such point the evil comes to his own front door and kills one of his own children.
Yeah.
And then he's forced into
it's time.
He's thrust into that. And in a certain sense, I'm kind of having that same thing where the one you have to pick with me is that I've been trying to kind of play this middle space of like, hey, Brandon, be nice. They got good intentions. They're just misguided. At least we think so. And you're over here like, no.
Tyler knocked his microphone out just a second. He's coming back. Here he comes. Not yet. Oh, there you go. I think it's on. Nope. Hey, this might give me a chance to just say everything I want to say here. I actually think Tyler's making a really good point right now. It's interesting to kind of sit on the sidelines, and not get involved, even if you see things that aren't working. And I think we all do it to some degree. Are you with me, Tyler?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
I'm a hand talker, so I was moving my hands all around. And you know, I think what I was getting at is saying that I'm feeling like right now I'm almost feeling this call from you to say, Tyler, if you don't speak out a little bit more about some of these places that we do actually disagree with, eventually it's going to end up on your front door. And yeah. I think that's the energy that I'm getting from you. And if that is, it's well taken.
I hope that's not the case. But can I give you a little story? This true story.
Yeah.
It's an analogy, and I guess I am calling you up a little bit here. I went to Buckingham Palace, and there's a bunch of people standing at the gates of Buckingham Palace, and there was this commotion right in the middle of the gates, and so people started kind of gathering to see what the commotion was. And there's this Muslim man at the gates yelling and screaming and demanding that the king come out and talk to him right now. And he's just belligerent and yelling. And the guards are like right on the other side of the fence, kind of in his face, not moving, not doing anything. And he's like yelling in their face. And he goes on and on. And it was so interesting because every time he turned toward the crowd, you know what would happen? They'd all pull out their phones or look the other way, like, I'm not watching anything. You know, nothing's going on here. You know, like no one wanted to be a part of it. Nobody. Like, you know, like, and I was right there. I was kind of watching the whole thing. And then some police came and they actually tried to talk to him and he started yelling at them, like, no, and it was all this stuff about jihad and all this stuff. And he started yelling at them and they were calmly saying, sir, we're going to have to remove you if you can't calm down and leave. And he'd just yell at them and yell and he kept going. Right. And then he turned toward the audience and everyone would turn their back like, what? I'm not watching this. Then all of a sudden there was this guy, this Muslim guy with his wife, older man, looked really humble. Really calm. He goes up to the police officer and he says, hey, can I talk to him? And the policeman's like, yeah. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. So he goes and he talks and the guy gets heated. He gets up in arms. He starts having a conversation about it. And the guy calmly diffuses him and he actually walks off. Okay. So how is this analogy like work here? I feel like when there's a thing, when there's a problem, many people turn their back because they're scared that if they go, just like Mel Gibson, if I go on the war field or whatever, I'm going to get my head chopped off. Like, I don't want to act like I'm a part of this. So I'm going to stand on the sidelines. Right. And then there's the person who knows from the inside out why this is happening, what's actually going on, and is able to step beyond the gate, face whatever's going on with this guy. The guy was like spitting and screaming in his face because he was so, but he stood there calmly and he just said, I know why you are doing what you're doing. I understand it and it's not okay. Right? That's what I feel. I feel like you and I cannot be the bystanders turning our head. We know too much, right? We understand too much. We can't be the police officer either who's just going to remove this because that's my job, but I don't totally understand this guy. That guy's not going to listen, right?
Right.
But we can, and I feel like, honestly, I feel like it's been slow and calm and whatever to this point, but now Jody's going to jail. People are getting hurt more and more. That it's time to be a little more direct with it, a little more honest, a little more upfront in exposing what's actually going on with it. What do you think?
Oh, I love that. Everything you just said, Brandon, and I agree with you. And I just don't want to also become the dude yelling through the bars.
No.
No, that's the point that I'm trying to make is let's be somewhere between the Muslim man who went up and talked to the other guy and the police officers who were saying, hey, dude, you can't do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, let's not swing all the way over to the other side of now I'm going to turn around
escalating the guy because we're ready to like fight.
Yeah. For our own pride or gratification. Right.
But also stand with, this is not okay.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Feeding the fear cycle that's damaging people's lives is not okay. You know, the messages of sexual self-rejection, fear around sexuality, the messages of fear of you know what a healthy boundary is, but really it's just purely control. Those things harm. Those things hurt people, and they keep people stuck. Right.
Yep. So. Yeah. Interesting topic today, Brandon.
You're the man, Skillet, or Tyler.
You call me. That'll be my nickname. Yeah.
I appreciate you. The reason I can have these conversations with you is because you'll have them. You know, like I feel safe with you to talk these things out. So I appreciate that.
No, it's good, Brandon. I was thinking, you know, like there's a few things, you know, call them my own values, that I look at kind of the way things go with our profession, the way things go with this world. And I see pathways where there will come some time where my own values will put me in the position of putting things that really matter to me at risk, whether that's my freedom, whether that's my profession, my license, my practice. I'm not afraid of those risks if they're based on my values.
Me too. Absolutely.
And so I appreciate you, you know, I appreciate you bringing this up. I feel like I'm in the same vein with you. I feel like I want to move towards the things that I think are important to me. But you're right. I sometimes try to avoid conflict.
Yeah. So. All right, you guys. Well, if anything comes up for you from this, if you have more questions, if you'd love to come on the show and kind of talk some of these topics out with us, if you totally disagree with us, then we would love to have you on the show. Have discussion, have conversation. I think the more we can figure this out, the better people get helped and people heal. And so we're open to all of that. So thank you for listening. Have a great day.